The Vampire Kitty Cat Chronicles, Chapter 4, Lester Seeks Revenge. Sammy said,
"We'll get to that in a minute. First, a little business."
What was this? Bait and switch? Get to the good stuff. Like any cat I ever knew, I was long on curiosity and short on patience. In that voice, impossibly deep and big for such a sardine of a man, Sammy said,
"I am president of the local chapter of the American Vampire Association. There are 912 members here in Bloomsburg, and nationwide we're the primary advocate for nearly 5 million vampire Americans, the nation's fastest growing minority group."
Meg leaned close and whispered out the side of her mouth, "And now a word from our sponsor." It was too bad cats can't chuckle. There were definitely times. I gave her a soft murr and got a scratch behind the ears in return. Sammy said,
"Our mission is to provide support for American vampires, to eliminate the need for ripping out throats in the night, to find jobs and shelter, to help vampire Americans with the adjustment to being undead."
Vera chimed in, "You've not only lost your life, you've lost your living. Your jobs, the places you live, your friends. I mean, it's rude to dine on friends, so you can't be hanging out when the pain strikes. And what do you get in return for becoming undead? How many of you have noticed superpowers developing?" I felt pretty much the same as before. I checked out the rest of the audience. Nobody moved. She said, "Well, don't hold your breath." Vera smiled at her incredibly feeble joke. Nobody else did. Seiko drew a breath and let out a sob. "Nice work, Vera. Bum us all out." Vera shrugged. "You were only human before you were infected, and you're only human now. No more, no less." The audience sat up at that, and she nodded. She'd done this before. "That's right, an infected. With a virus. If you've read vampire fiction, you know that a virus is often cited as the cause. Well, the storytellers got that part right. But they blew it on the superpowers and the fangs part too, unless you have some glued on. No shape-shifting, no flying, no super strength. You can't eat garlic, but then you can't eat anything else either." Sammy walked to a long, narrow box high on the wall behind them and pulled a big map of the planet down like a window shade. I can see how maps are a good thing for people. What with their meager sense of direction, cats always know where we are. He pointed at a spot in Europe. Don't ask, I just knew.
"In the early 1700s, during a rabies epidemic among dogs and wolves in Hungary, the virus mutated."
Rabies? That was a nasty way to go. Except we V's didn't go, did we? Meg said, "We're rabid?" Sammy shook his head, then he nodded, then he shrugged.
"Not exactly. Many of our symptoms are the same as rabies. For example, insomnia and night wandering are common with rabies. A quarter of victims are prone to biting. A rabies victim is super sensitive to all stimuli, including sunlight and strong odors such as garlic. And as you well know, it's fatal."
Meg frowned. "But this virus didn't kill us. Totally, that is." Vera said, "Until the mutation, all deadly viruses were just that. They killed their host and then died. But this mutant rabies takes over a body, cell by cell, and keeps it working. It needs only blood for fuel. And you know how badly it needs that." I didn't even want to think about the pain that came when the bloodlust hit. So that was it. Tiny little bugs. The door banged open and Lester swept in, his cape swinging behind him. He stopped in the doorway and raised a hand. His other held a leather strap that trailed behind him. "Don't listen to these gutless wonders. Your deaths have opened up a grand new life for you. A life of darkness and freedom. Sammy said,
Oh, Lester, please.
It's Lestat, and isn't this still a democracy? Don't I still have the right to be heard? Sammy said to the audience,
The AVA's policy is to provide shelter for any vampire, even the...
He shot a look at Lester.
Disagreeable ones.
Now there was where cats took exception to human customs. If we don't like somebody, we do our best to make them go away. The way we see it, only fools suffer fools. Makes for a much more pleasant existence. Speaking of fools, Lester surveyed the room and his gaze settled on me. He pointed with the hand I had scratched. The wound looked exactly the same as when I'd done the deed. Kitty cat, I have something for you. He stepped in and pulled on the leather strap. Come here, Nosferatu. In trotted a burly black dog, a pit bull. I wondered if Lester had gone out and created a vampire doggy just for me. How special. While my life was in no danger, I didn't like the idea of being chewed. I stood on my chair, inhaled, and hissed. Meg got to her feet and faced Lester. She said, You leave Patch alone. Lester said, I'm not through with you, either. Fido opened his mouth, bared his fangs, and looked like he was trying to growl. Nothing came out. He tried again. No luck. He flapped his mouth as if he were barking. Of course, without taking in some air, nothing could come out. Dogs are such losers. Lester bent down and coached. Breathe, boy, breathe. Then he took a breath and growled. As if the mutt could understand. Like Vera said, don't hold your breath. This was a dog. Lester glared at me. And then he produced a slow-motion smile, letting his artificial fangs show. The guy was very good at creepy. I suspected he practiced. He held eye contact with me while he leaned down and unsnapped the leash. He said to his doggy, Kill him, Nosferatu! Old Nasty stopped his silent yapping and hunched his shoulders. He stalked toward me, his claws clicking on the linoleum. With no one breathing or talking, the sound echoed in the dead quiet. Sorry, just couldn't resist that. I was thinking it was high time to get out of Dodge when I noticed scars on his muzzle. Vertical rows of scars. From claws. A feline victim's last defense? Or was old Nasty just a bully with a yellow streak? I leaped from my chair and landed inches from Nasty's nose. The son of a bitch stopped advancing and flinched back a step. He gulped, too. I did the bristle thing, the fur on my tail and back standing out, making me look bigger. Old Nasty glanced up at Lester as if for assurance. Lester made pushing motions with his hands and said, Go on, rip him to undead pieces. Nasty turned back to me and hunched his shoulders again. I took a deep breath and let out a low, moaning caterwaul. The dog's eyes widened. Another glance at Lester, more encouragement. Then Nasty narrowed his eyes and tried to growl again. If he hadn't been so huge and dangerous, it would have been funny. I had a feeling that those scars on his muzzle meant that he hadn't come out on top in a previous close encounter of the kitty cat kind. So I sucked in some more air, and bam, I arched my back. Went up on my toes, hissed big time, and then reared up on my hind legs, front paws out with claws extended. Nasty threw it into reverse, skidded backward, and slammed into Lester's legs. Lester reacted with a huge kick. A 7-foot vampire has a lot of leverage, and propelled Nasty straight back at me. Meg screeched, Patch! Ha! I was cool. I leaped over Nasty's head, touched down on his back, and took a running leap up at Lester. I landed on his chest, and my claws dug through black cloth and into skin. Oh, boy. I climbed his front, sinking my claws in like a mountain climber driving pitons. I glanced back and saw Nasty skid to a halt, scramble around, and reverse direction, and Meg gave him a kick in the butt. He raced for the doorway, bounced off the frame, then disappeared. Like I said, losers. I stopped climbing when I was at Lester's head, eye to eye, my front paw pitons in the side of his neck. His eyes had gone beyond bulging. If he'd had any blood pressure, he'd have been about to blow a tire. I gave his nose a big, long, rough lick. Lester flung open his mouth like he was screaming, but, just like his canine companion, no gas, no go. He hit me with both hands, and I flew back, my claws leaving artful furrows in his neck's white flesh. Meg snatched me out of the air and held me to her chest. She shouted, "Out!" Lester filled his chest with air and let out a scream of rage. He extended his arms, his fingers formed claws, and he took a giant step toward Meg and me. He looked like Boris Karloff in that old Frankenstein movie. A folding chair slammed into his side and clattered to the floor. Seiko picked up another chair. "Out!" The giant vampire hesitated. Vera's voice was a shriek. "Out!" I gathered myself, put my hind paws against Meg's chest, and took a deep breath. I launched myself at Lester with a screaming yowl. He threw up his hands, spun, and ran, his cloak slapping me in the face as I arced down where he'd been standing. I watched the doorway for a moment to make sure the creep was really gone, then turned back to Meg. The people in the room stared at me. Then Meg grinned, came to me, squatted down, and raised her hand for a high five. "Patch, my man!" I couldn't resist. I raised a paw and gave her the five. She scooped me up into a hug. Gasps of air intake soughed around the room, and a beat later, laughs and chuckles came our way. As the audience settled into chairs, Vera and Sammy came over to us. Vera rubbed me under my chin. I lifted it, closed my eyes, and felt a purr coming on. But then, in a chilly voice, she said, "I know, Lester. He's tough and dangerous. He's had to be to survive out there for 2 years. Sammy said to Meg,
"He was unmarked, too, and proud of it. You're new, so maybe you don't know. Vampires don't heal. Some of the older ones are pretty beat up."
Vera gave my chin a last scratch and then a pat on my head. "Yeah, Lester's gonna be real pissed next time he looks into his rearview mirror. If you weren't already a dead kitty, I'd say you would be before too long." Meg held me close. It was comforting, what with all this talk about me being dead. I sure didn't think of myself that way yet. Then I noticed that her body wasn't warming me, which was one of the nice things about having a human associate. She was room temperature. Come to think of it, so was I. She said, "Maybe I should call the police. I mean, Lester's pretty hard to miss." Sammy again,
"Yeah, but he manages. As far as the police know, we don't exist."
That seemed logical to me. The undead, running around drinking blood, not grounds for a good relationship with the law. But Meg said, "Why not? We're people, aren't we? We have rights, don't we?" Heads turned in the audience, and all eyes focused on us. Seiko came closer. Sammy said,
"I guess we do, but we're a secret."
Meg set me down on a chair. She scanned her listeners, and her voice grew louder. "Why?" Vera said, "Are you crazy? We're vampires." Meg had that tight look around her eyes of someone whose mind is racing. She said, "George said that if I was still working, I'd be paying taxes. Is that right?" Sammy said,
"Yeah, but..."
She waved a hand at the room. "Do you pay taxes on all this?"
"Sure, we have to."
"But we're a secret. We don't get police protection. We can't go down to the unemployment office and apply for a job."
"Well, you can't do that because it's daytime when they're open."
Meg's voice rose another notch. "So? We have a right to those services, don't we?" She looked at the audience for support. "All the services our tax money pays for?" Seiko took a breath, hesitated, and then said, "It's kind of like taxation without representation." Meg nodded. Darn right. Seiko said, Well, there is an election coming up for the city council. Meg surveyed the watching vampires. Maybe we need a candidate. Sammy said,
That's nuts.
Meg put her hands on her hips. Is it? The song is Dire Wolf from Reckoning by the Grateful Dead. Please don't hurt me. For more fun, visit VampireKittyCat.com.